Hi, welcome to Qubits, your bite-sized pieces of quantum computing. My name is Renee from Valorum Reply, and today we're going to talk about quantum computing for drug discovery, a very important topic. And for this, I'm honored to have a special expert guest today, Shahar Keenan. Hi, Shahar, and welcome to the show. How are you today?
Very good, thanks. How are you doing, Renee?
I'm doing fantastic. Can you tell us a bit about yourself and your background as it relates, you know, to chemistry and quantum and all of the goodies here?
Sure. So I'm a computational chemist by training. I did my PhD in the Hebrew University of Jerusalem, came to the US for a postdoc and stayed. I've started Polaris Quantum Biotech with my co-founder, Bill Shipman, who is Polaris CTO, and myself about 3 years ago. And we are located in Durham, North Carolina. We're a virtual company, so we have people all over the US.
I love this modern work style. Alrighty, so let's dive into our today's topic. First of all, let's make everyone basically on the same page. So tell us a little bit, what is the process of drug discovery like, and what is so special about, you know, this modern personalized precision medicine?
So drug discovery is a very lengthy and complex process. The part that we are interested in is in the early stages of drug discovery, sometimes also called drug design, which is after you know what the disease is, you know, you understand the biology of the disease, and you identified a specific protein, which is part of the cell machinery, that is not working correctly or that is overworking, and you're trying to either stop that activity or enhance that activity. And that's when you're looking for a small molecule that will become your drug later on. We come into the process at this point. We are the group that can find those small molecules faster and more efficient. When we find these molecules, then they go to more testing, both against the specific protein and then against other proteins to make sure that there's no side effects, and then in all sort of models, animal models, cell size models. After all of that is finished, then those small molecules go to somebody else's, become somebody else's problem. And then it's when you start doing clinical trials. And those can take 5 to 7 years before this become a drug that you can sell in the market. So what we are interested in is really the early stages of drug discovery, drug design. And we are interested in that because those are the way people are doing it today is through steps of trial and error. You design some molecules, you test them, you see if they're good or not good, you learn something, you go to the next step. Each one of those steps looks at about 1,000 molecules. And it takes the whole process, 3-4 steps, 3 years, $4 million. It's a lengthy process, expensive process, and there's a lot of missed opportunities here just because of the length and the cost of this process. What we found out is that each of these steps is a single point optimization, so a single property optimization. You first find molecules that bind to the protein. Then you make sure that there isn't to synthesize. Then you maybe make sure that they can be orally available so that you can, you know, that they will become a pill. Each one of those steps is a single object optimization. We are using quantum computers to do a multi-object optimization. So instead of looking at 1,000 molecules every time, we're looking at a much larger virtual chemical space, billions of molecules, and find molecules that bind to the protein, easy to synthesize, and orally available at the same step. So instead of doing 3 different optimizations, we're doing only a single optimization, but a multi-object optimization. And that's something we can do because we are using, a quantum computer. We're using the D-Wave annealers, which are very good for optimization problems.
Got it. Well, that's already as answering probably my second question, but the process you described is also known as protein folding, like partially a little bit?
You can use protein folding there. We are less interested in those kind of things of protein folding. We prefer, at least at these stages of the company growth, to work with cases where the protein structure is known. So you look at the protein and it's already folded. Protein folding is an area that in the last year have been through, you know, it's an amazing what's happening there, both on the experimental side and on the technological side, with work, you know, at DeepMind and at Meta and some other companies that are doing that. They're using AI, machine learning, and natural language processing to do those part of things. And in many cases, we use their outputs. We look at the outcome of what they're doing, and they support what we're doing.
Got it. Mm-hmm. So that makes a lot of sense. I like you're already alluding to, there's things like DeepFold from DeepMind and so on, you know, that is using machine learning and AI basically to accelerate the process. And I think, you know, like the challenges the industries are facing is computational resources. And these are like what you describe are these like, you know, multi-dimensional optimization problem, basically, right? You have mm-hmm. this huge search space.
Yeah.
And so how can quantum computing help in that realm?
So, you know, quantum computing is a big name. What we are doing is we are using annealers. And annealers are really good at solving optimization problems. And this is what we are doing. We are doing using an annealer to solve a multi-object optimization problem. So when we, for a specific protein and a specific set of properties that you're interested in a molecule, so that that molecule will become a good drug, right? Less toxic, easy to make, soluble, all of those set of properties, we know how to build a virtual chemical space, large chemical space, billions of molecules, and how to translate that chemical space into a cubo formulism. Mm-hmm. And that's what we are running on D-Wave. So we know how to translate chemical space to cubo, how to translate the constraints that are in the chemistry language to cubo's constraints. And then we run it on D-Wave. On D-Wave, the constraints at the cubo and the constraints are solved using their algorithms. Okay, so they're using their algorithms. We're using our algorithms to translate chemistry into cubes.
Right. Understood. So basically, you're the translator from the chemistry into the quantum chemistry world, basically, right?
Yes, and then translating it back, right? Because you get the answer, you know, what's the low energy state coming out of the cubo? You still need to translate it back into chemistry, into how does your molecule look like? What's the properties of your molecule? And how good is it going to be?
Awesome. And with this, you can also build these personalized medicine, I guess, right? You have a person, for example, well, unfortunately, I'm not aware that I have one of a certain disease. Maybe I have, I just don't know. But, you know, potentially, like, let's just make this up. Like, if a doctor finds a certain problem, like in my body or something, and there is a certain chemical or a certain protein that, like you said, that is not well behaving. And, mm-hmm. and then they would take a sample and then analyze it and make a very specific drug just for one person, right?
Yes. This is still, you know, work in progress. So this is still not something that can happen today. But even today, we're looking at smaller and smaller patient populations. One of the projects that we are doing and that we published on is triple negative breast cancer. So if you look at breast cancer, there are three known mutations, but then there are patients who don't have any of these three mutations. Mm-hmm. They are the triple negative patients, and they are a very small percentage of breast cancer patients. But we can find, and we're working on projects that are targeting that small population. Now, because we don't need 3 years, $4 million to get to these molecules, we're way faster than that. We can look at smaller patient populations because the cost of drug discovery, drug design is expensive. And if you're doing it faster and cheaper, you can target smaller patient population. We have shown that This specific project, it took us, we collaborate with another company, and this took us about 6 months, the project, from the beginning till the end. We're waiting now to see some of those results.
Wow. And that is impacting life for a person, right? Like you're saying, like instead of like 4 or 5 years, 6 months, or I mean, like you're saying, it's just the beginning, right? So it will get even faster and in the long term. Mm-hmm. And that could actually mean life or death for a person. And so this is amazing.
Yes, and quantum computing, the possibilities there for some problems, okay? We're not going to make a faster Word document processing, but for some problems, the capabilities of a quantum computer can change, especially in science. So when we talk about finding the best molecules for it that will become a drug, that's one of the things. When we're thinking about how you design that molecule specifically, right now we're using annealers. When a gate-based computer will be available that is bigger, we can make other parts of the process even faster as well. And this is something that we're really looking forward to.
Yeah, no, I can totally relate to that. And like you're saying, that's also what I keep on telling folks when they ask me, oh, when will this be a quantum, like I'm holding up my smartphone here. Yep. When will this be a quantum computer inside of here? And then I tell them, well, probably never, because you should rather think about a quantum or a QPU, a quantum processing unit, similar to a GPU, which is a graphics processing unit, an accelerator for very specific problems. Or what we're also seeing these days in certain computers, these VPUs, like vector processing units or tensor processing unit, super well suited for AI workloads. We're going to see these, of course, you know, quantum computer might probably never be that small. We'll see maybe at some point, but definitely it's meant for very specific problems. But like you're saying, these specific problems are huge and impactful for a lot of people. Like you're saying, drug discovery, but also fertilizers, other chemical simulations or optimizations, and then even scheduling problems, like, you know, saving time for a lot of people, and then also saving, reducing carbon footprint and or running climate models and all of that stuff. Like, where we're reaching really the boundaries of classical computers, because you have these multidimensional problems, and so exciting.
Yeah, it is. It is, isn't it? On the D-Wave annealers, there are some really interesting solutions that are being developed now. One of them is in the port of Los Angeles, right? Mm-hmm. Cutting down waste, making sure that ships don't waste too much time, trucks, all of these things. So really interesting solutions.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any other solution you would like to mention in the quantum-inspired computation space?
So there are some interesting work done now with cargo, how you put boxes into airplanes, right? That's the Airbus challenge, and there are some interesting works coming out of that as well. Yeah. And both of these are examples of using the D-Wave annealer, you know, on solving day-to-day problems.
And in fact, while you mentioned the Airbus quantum challenge, like one of my colleagues, we actually took part in the Airbus Quantum Challenge, made second place back then.
Oh, neat.
And yeah, I actually talked with one of my colleagues in the previous episodes of Qubits about it. And it is impressive. Like, if you think about the problem, it's a huge optimization problem, right? Like, you have a plane that has certain physical constraints. It needs to fly in the end, and it only can fit.
And fly balanced, right? You can't put all the heavy stuff at the front or on the side, right?
Yes. Yeah.
But exactly like that, right? They are balancing. This is a multi-object optimization.
Well, this is pretty amazing, and I'm really impressed. Like, especially in your field, like you're saying, it was, you know, personalized precision medicine, and you know, bringing down drug discovery, like the phase of drug discovery you're working on, like the beginning or the initial phases before the clinical trials, like bringing this down to a few months, basically, from years. This will be so impactful for so many people, and also if we think about quantum and also AI. I mean, when a lot of folks, they hear about AI, oh no, you know, the robots are going to kill us, that kind of a thing. But then I always show them, like, there's so immense progress also for computer vision, like detecting melanomas, like skin cancer, which can even reach this now a level that is on par with humans or even better to a certain degree. And this will scale and will enable this fantastic treatment to many, many more people in the world. And this is so exciting.
Yes, and you don't have to be there in order to employ AI, right? Or machine learning. You don't have to send your physicians to every part of the world. They can, you know, you can put it on a computer and that computer will reach areas that otherwise may not have access to that level of experience, right? So I think some of that technology is revolutionizing healthcare now, not in 10 years. And I think it's really exciting to be at this point now, being able to see, to participate, to contribute to those kind of revolutions.
I couldn't agree more. And what was also very insightful in the conversation we were just having, that you're already basically using the latest state of technology with annealing from D-Wave, with the annealer they have, which is almost 6,000 qubits or 5,070 something, or I don't recall exactly. But like you're saying, for very specific problems, though. So it's not the gate model, which is more generic, but you're already employing this for, you know, making super impactful things there. And I'm very impressed.
Yep. Thank you very much.
Well, folks, we're already at the end of the show. Thank you so much, Shahar, for joining us today and sharing your insights. Again, I'm so impressed, and the work you're doing is life-changing for a lot of people. So I'm very much appreciated that you took a little bit of your time out to talk with me today. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron, and always happy to talk with you.
Awesome. Well, and thanks, everyone, for joining us for yet another episode of Qubits, your bite-sized pieces of quantum computing. Watch our blog and follow our social media channels to hear all about the next episodes. Subscribe to our YouTube. You might get a notification. And of course, you can always visit the website to view all the previous episodes from season 1 to season 6 now. Take care, stay healthy, and see you soon. Bye-bye.